Hey, this is Bobby from the Effin' Cultured Podcast. Join me and my friends every week as we talk about all things pop culture and usually end up in crazy conversations like this.
You know how many dick pics a murder hornet can carry at once? A whole satchel.
Like you want hashtag horse girl.
I'm not wearing a mask and these are not fucking pickles!
The big book of Little Richard orgies.
Hey baby, let me be your ghost light.
I ain't gonna leave box 5 empty, if you know what I mean. Hey,
Ford Theater's not the only one where presidents get shot.
Roll them up in a carpet, wrap it in saran wrap, dunk it in chocolate, throw it in a cave, fill it with concrete, and wall lead.
Bang! Brushes. Easter candy. Done.
Easter candy. That's where Easter
candy. My favorite Easter candy is the host.
Find us on Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts and get yourself effin' cultured.
For years, the best podcasters from around the world have gathered to review, reminisce, and riff on popular franchises. They've assembled the Earth's mightiest superheroes, traveled to a galaxy far, far away, drank many martinis, shaken, not stirred, witnessed the battle of the Alpha Titan, defended Earthrealm from Outworld.
Get over here!
And other audio adventures. But there were some movies that didn't make the cut. From the creators of Podcasters Assemble comes a movie hype series hosted by a motley crew of talent.
It's a work camp.
Get into this toaster so I can fuck you. Oh, wait, wrong. Wait, what?
Oh, meta.
Podcasters Disassemble.
All right, welcome to Podcasters Disassemble in the middle of season 6 with Podcasters Assemble. They're going through the great Ghostbuster films, whereas we, on the other hand, are diving into the let's just say the bowels of the Ghostbusters, but not the ones that you expect. My name is Zach. I'm from the Neatcast. I'm from Effin' Cultured. I guest on Podcasters Assemble and every other goddamn podcast available. And joining me again is Chris. You are here suffering with this, with me, through this.
Yes, and I'm not happy about it at all. But this is Chris Carroll from Comic Zombie Podcast. I'm also on the Epic Fails podcast. It's EPIK Fails. And on numerous seasons of Podcasters Assembled. And also hating his life watching this garbage was Justin.
Hey there, Justin Aki, one half of Significant Otter Co., guest on the past 3 seasons of Podcasters Assembled and Disassembled, and this show made me want to kill myself, so...
Jeez.
Unlike someone named Bobby.
Let's go, Ghostbusters! Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Oh my God!
Yeah,
why
baby!
Why did he even sing the freaking theme song? Jesus
Listen,
Christ.
Because it's been
I
in
know.
His head since he watched it.
Yeah, baby. I still have it on the TV. Hey, my name is Bobby. I am the host of the Effin' Cultured Podcast. Glad to be here. I've also guest hosted on Neatcast, and I think I've done one podcast disassembled? Assembled? Assembled, whatever you want to call it. But
you did Mortal Kombat games.
The video games, yeah. I had the whole Christmas morning through line there.
That was a walk through your past. I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I wanted to do something a little different. But thanks for having me. Very excited to be the devil's advocate here on the Ghostbusters.
The devil was a guest on the live action one, I wouldn't be surprised.
They didn't get that far, but they should have.
Yes,
they should have just went
made
for
the
it.
Show.
So the first thing I made you guys watch was the 1975 The Ghostbusters, the live action 15-episode show that ran from September 6th to December 13th of 1975.
We're the Ghostbusters.
I'm Spencer. He's Tracy.
I'm Kong.
We're the Ghostbusters. We're clever, courageous, and strong. Your sleep has been haunted with the
creepies. I wonder what's happening. You're safe in our hands. We will take care of you. We're the Ghostbusters. Spirits and demons, beware.
Was this your first time? I know the answer, but was this your first time seeing the show?
It was my first time seeing it. I'd seen, I was aware of it, and I had seen like little second blips here and there, watching stuff about the Ghostbusters we're all familiar with, but that was the extent. And I think I'd seen the cartoon when I was little.
Yeah, I actually don't remember the cartoon at all, but the live action, going back, this is just like an F Troop reunion with some spooky stuff. It's like, hey, these guys still need work. What can we do? And we have one set in L.A. Let's just keep using that for the entire show. And so I don't know anything about this. I'm surprised they didn't throw this on like Nick at Night, because I was a big Nick at Night person back in the day. And F Troop was on there, so I don't know what's up with that.
I was going to say, how the fuck did you know about F Troop? How old are you, 72? What's going on here?
I would watch F Troop and go down to the corner drugstore with a phosphate. Get a mimeograph.
That's where the hussies would charge me a nickel for a handy.
Yeah, wearing an onion on my belt, as was style at the time. You know?
I was just going to say that shit. Oh, that's awesome. The point is to tell a story that's really long and doesn't go anywhere.
Well, they really excelled at that. For those that are unfamiliar with this, you got three main characters. You have Spencer, Tracy, and Kong. And for some reason, Kong is not the name of the goddamn gorilla. Tracy is.
Because that's too easy, Zach. It's too easy.
It's a thinker, Zach. You have to use your head for this show.
I think that was part of the joke. The description of it, it's a live-action children's sitcom.
Yes.
And apparently children were also on cocaine in the 70s, because that's the only way you could watch this.
It's a hell of a drug.
It really spoke to them. So they're a bunch of bumbling paranormal detectives. I am amazed that it lasted 15 episodes. And every episode, from what I can tell, it had a very consistent formula. You had a pre-credit teaser with the ghost or the monster. You had then they would say what their mission is, of how they're going to wreak havoc or whatever. Then you'd go to the after credits where Kong would send Tracy and Spencer to what, like a general store?
It was literally called the general store.
Yeah. Which I swear had an NBC icon on the door. They would find a tape recorded message in whatever, like a bicycle or
fish.
A fucking fish. and Tracy, the gorilla, would listen to it. It would then blow up and self-destruct.
He would count down it every single time with his fingers. He would still hold it in his hand and then count down.
Yeah, it would say, this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And he'd be like, on his fingers, count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, listen, he's a gorilla, guys. You got to cut him some slack, okay?
A gorilla who, in the second episode, draws a magic door that pulls anything out he wants. I don't know what the hell is wrong with this gorilla.
Can I just say that I thought it was funny that in the credits at the opening, they say gorilla trained by or tamed by or whatever.
Trained by Bob Burns.
Yeah, and it's clearly Bob Burns in the suit, but I thought that was funny.
What can we come with this, though? Because the actors in this, Bob Burns at the time was 40 years old, dressing up as a gorilla in a children's sitcom in the 70s. Larry Storch was already 50, and Forrest Tucker, as Kong, was 54. So these are some old-ass people in a children's show. Can we talk about that?
Well, that was kind of the thing back in the day. I mean, how old was Bozo when we were kids? Like 750?
How old was the lady from Lamb Chop?
Well, I think she was like, all right. So she fed on children's souls. So she was like 210. But Lamb Chop is actually like 36 million years old. It's from ancient Sumeria. You can look it up.
Oh, okay. Really, no, that makes sense. Yeah. No. I knew there were cave drawings of that stupid little lamb somewhere.
Just looking up at an impending doom comet.
Lamb Chop's real name is Zool.
This is a song that never ends.
Ever. That was the original 7 days. 7 days.
Just keeps going.
But when we distract it from Zach, I mean, that's pretty much the plot for every episode. And then they go on their bumbling stuff to the one set they had, which was a castle.
And a graveyard.
Oh, well, that was attached to the...
Yes. Can't forget the graveyard. So the thing about this show that kind of like irritated me more than anything is that it should have been so awesome. And I don't mean like legitimately good, because let's be honest, that was never in the cards. But like, you have a gorilla in like a Sherlock Holmes hat solving crimes involving ghosts with a couple of bumbling idiots. Like, that sounds pretty great to me. Like, I watched the crap out of that, especially as a kid. And the thing is that it's just so, it's the mid 70s. So the budget was probably like a bag of cocaine, a hooker, and $15. It looks it. I mean, it's really cheap and everything. And it's just too bad that they weren't ever able to like make this into anything. Instead, it's just this, you know, the only reason anyone ever even knows about it is because it has the same name as the movie.
Yeah, all the B-roll of like them driving around in the car. It's like the old car from what was the
Police Squad?
Beverly Hillbillies. And I mean, it just, everything was just terrible. It was all terrible.
I did like that the gorilla stopped the car by throwing an anchor out of the car.
That was actually kind of funny. That was funny.
First episode. Yeah. I love it. Okay, and they didn't even say the brakes were broken. They were just like, he just all of a sudden.
No. He just offhand goes, we'll get those brakes fixed Sunday or some shit like that. Yeah. It's like, all right, that's pretty funny. And so like, you know, early on I was like, okay, this isn't terrible, terrible. And then the rest happened to me.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. The special effects for the ghost dematerializer is, you know, amazing.
Before we get into the plot of the two episodes that we watched, can we discuss what was the reason for this team? They're the Ghostbusters, but and even in the second episode, like, the guy doesn't know how his own equipment works. And then you have, like, Charlie's Angel given, like, the instructions on, like, tapes. How did they get this job? What are they doing? What was the point?
We didn't get to that part.
I don't know, because they're in a very dilapidated building. Their headquarters is dilapidated. Everything looks like it's just trashed. But
oh yeah,
they somehow have access to Mission Impossible spy technology that you use once an episode, and the same thing happens every episode.
Explosives. They literally have explosives.
This plot device better work.
Every time.
Bobby, since you enjoyed it, have you seen the whole, all 15 episodes by chance?
No. I made it through episode 6 and then I took a break. I didn't want to, you know, go all in and watch all 15.
I was just curious if they revealed any more information about like you know,
not really. I just think it's just one of those things where they had the premise and it worked for the time that it was put out. I mean, a lot of mid-70s, early 70s sitcoms you watch, like goofy kids shows, a ton of them are the same way. Like, it's not about exposition. You just get thrown into a... When you watch... what the hell is that stupid show with the magic flute? Oh, I can't fucking remember right
the
now.
The H.R. Puffin stuff?
Yeah, H.R. Puffin stuff.
Oh,
like,
yep.
Holy shit. Like, you don't learn anything about that. You just all of
you
a sudden you're
drugs.
In this crazy acid trip.
Exactly. That's a fucking fever dream and a half right there.
Sir, it was called H.R. Puffin stuff. What did you fucking expect?
Yeah.
Well, when you're a kid, you don't know any different. You're just like, this looks fun. What the fuck? Like, so, yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying. Like, watching this as a little kid and watching it as a grown adult, like, two very different impressions you're going to take away from it. So,
well, it's all slapstick,
if I had seen this when
though.
I was little, I might have been like, it's bad, but the gorilla's cool. Like, the bit where in the first episode where the Ghostbusters get to the castle to chase after Fat Man and the Rabbit and Big Al's ghost. And the Kong tries to pick the lock, but he sucks at everything. Because even it takes him like 2 minutes to open this zippered lock case. And when he does,
didn't even
he drops
put the lock pick into the hole. He was just, he was like, he was working at a...
No, he just like lined it up like, nah.
Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, I don't know if you guys heard, but when he opened it, he drops like three things out of it. You hear them hit the ground. And he just goes like, oh, well, this isn't going to work. And, you know, just immediately quitting. And the gorilla's like all hand signals and making noises like a pig.
Yeah, the gorilla grunted like a pig. It was really weird.
Grunting and stuff. Not like a gorilla. Like, yeah, really weird. So he puts everything down. He kind of like cracks his knuckle deal and he like files his nails. And you think he's going to like pick this lock and he just comes up and rips the door off the hinges.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty funny. I mean, it was immediately undercut by the clown-ass Spencer and Kong. Like, but right before that, for about a second and a half, I was like, hey, that was funny.
Yeah.
So, Bobby, you've seen a few more episodes than we do. And we watched the first two, The Maltese Monkey and Dr. What's-His-Face.
Yeah.
And in both episodes, right before Kong does something, I don't know, special or whatever, he takes a nail file to his fingers.
And trims his fingers, yeah.
Yeah.
You
Does
mean,
that continue through the other episodes?
Tracy?
Tracy, yes.
Which is, it's just as a side note, it's amazing that they have Spencer Tracy. Like, it's yeah. such a blatant, like, hey, Hollywood, look, pay attention to us. We named our character Spencer Tracy. You know, that
and
guy.
And there's a Kong. You guys like Kong, right?
You know the guy that's fucking Katharine Hepburn? You know that guy?
Wait. Spencer Tracy, who died in 1967, and we're still using his name. Thank you very much.
Yeah, hey, why not? It works.
Hell, they're stealing title cards from Scooby-Doo, man. You can't give them too much free.
Oh, no.
I didn't, it's, you know, as much as I enjoyed watching these, they all kind of smashed together. So it's like, I can't remember if he filed his fingers down anymore. I honestly don't.
I filed my eyeballs after every single time of watching this show. So.
I wasn't drinking during this, but I should have. I should have.
Yeah, you know,
when you read up on this show, they had enough viewers to make a second season. But wow. This show was in, like, it followed the Shazam ISIS Hour, which was...
That got named well.
Well, it's Captain Marvel.
It's Captain Marvel,
now, well,
yeah.
Well, now he's Shazam again, right?
Yeah, just Shazam.
But because they did Shazam as Filmation, because they did Shazam as well, they ended up just focusing on Shazam, and they decided not to do a second season. They could have done a second season of this show. I'm actually kind of upset they didn't.
Well, just looking ahead, they did 15 episodes of Shazam and 15 episodes of this. And they're like, let's focus on Shazam. It's done better with ratings. They were both really high. Shazam still got two more seasons, but one was 7 episodes and one was 6 episodes.
So what can you do?
They lost out on that Ghostbusters money.
So the first episode, you know, it's just, first of all, that you're bad guys. Who the hell they are?
Are we going to talk about The Thing?
The Thing?
If I could punch someone over the internet, that would happen right now.
This fat suit sure is heavy. I love how the fat man was wearing, like, a pillow.
He's a fat man, and then you have Rabbit.
But Rabbit was played by Billy Barty, and if you remember the movie Willow, he's the wizard at the beginning with the bones, and Willow Lovegood. He's that guy.
No shit.
That's Billy Barty. He's been in, like, a thousand... He was also the star... I'm not even looking at notes now. He was the one that started the Association for Little People, for actors. And so he was the first president, and he was the starting of that, and he helped get pretty much anyone who was in the Star Wars or any of the little people in that time frame in the 70s and 80s. Jobs. That was his job. Yeah. Nice guy.
That's awesome. So, like, Kenny Baker. It's like, hey, thanks, dude.
Yep. Well, I mean, think Kenny Baker is off from all that. So everything was in... Think of every little person you ever met in the movies. They were in Willow. I mean, either as a little kid or as an old person, honestly.
Yeah.
Holy shit, he was Gwildor in Masters of the Universe. I knew I recognized him.
Oh my god, that Gwildor. Poor man.
We fermented that movie. I knew I knew him from somewhere.
Dude,
we
did. I have not seen that movie since I was a kid, like when it came out. And I
don't
remember,
watch it.
As soon as you said that, no, I don't need to. It was awful. But as soon as you said Gwildor, I remembered something with a keyboard and him being like, look out, Prince Adam! Yep. And just being like, what is this? What the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? At like 8 years old, like having a fucking rage meltdown over like, they got it wrong. It's too bad I hadn't seen G.I. Joe, the movie. Mm. Not the cartoon, which was dope, but the
live action, yeah.
The Channing Tatum.
So
they weren't terrible. They were terrible, but they weren't terrible, terrible. They weren't as terrible as this show. Let's continue talking about it.
What?
See, I'd rather talk about almost anything else, to be honest.
All right. So before we move on to the next episode, why the hell did Big Al Caesar look exactly like Spencer?
Oh, because that way they didn't. Was it the same actor?
Same actor.
Same actor,
yeah.
Right?
It was the same actor.
So that way they didn't have to pay. They didn't have to pay anybody.
There was actually one point. There was one point where it was a cardboard cutout, like when they had them both in the same frame. One of them was definitely a picture. It was astonishing. If you guys go back and watch it, there's one shot where one of them is.
I won't be doing that. I will take your word for it.
Well, don't. Just fast forward it. It's a really funny shot, though.
Bobby, I'm going to take your word for it.
No, because then it's going to be in my brain. Yeah, no, that's all you. Thank you for pointing this out. I might look at the IMDb about that fluff, but I'm not going to look back at the show.
Oh god. So
can we real quick before we talk about the second episode or finish up the first, I just want to mention really quickly I don't think we'll cover it at any point, but Bobby watched it, and I watched a few minutes of it, but episode 6 is like pure nightmare fuel. In addition to being terrible, it's like, if you're ever creeped out by puppets or even creepier ventriloquists, like, who does that? That's creepy. It's not for you. Trust me.
No,
it's terrible. I mean, it's
funny because in the opening where the bad guys pop up, first the dummy pops up sitting on a grave. And then the ventriloquist comes out, like, you know, 15, 30 seconds later, and he's so open-mouthed speaking for the dummy, and you're like, oh my god, this is so bad. And then the dummy makes a joke about it, and I'm like, oh, okay, it was supposed to be like that. But for the first couple minutes where they're talking, you're like, this can't work. This cannot be the way that this goes.
We did 86 takes, and this was the best one.
Oh god. The dummy's revenge, the phantom of vaudeville and his ventriloquist dummies, Elmo, returned from the great beyond to settle a score with Slappy, Maxi, Nijinsky, three vaudevillains who wronged them in the past. Oh god,
I didn't get that far, but I
right, and it was two guys in an ape costume, so who do you think they thought was the Slappy, Maxi, and Nijinsky?
Oh, guess which trio gets mistaken for the three troublemakers. See?
Mm-hmm. What if only there was a convenient plot twist that we could use.
Going back to the Maltese Monkey, though, I will say I watched this on YouTube, so all the commercials are stripped out. And this show is only 19 minutes and 58 seconds. It was great. It was fantastic. It was short, thank God. That was the saving grace. But the exposition and the lead up, they had literally 2 minutes to do the Maltese Monkey bit. Like, there was nothing. This whole thing was lead up, and then suddenly the ghost. There's a, for the viewers at home who are never going to watch this, please don't watch this. Please don't watch this.
Please watch it.
It gets stronger the more views it gets.
God, don't say its names three times.
They need to in a bathroom. They need to remake this show, and I will fight that to the death.
I tell
you what,
if you get the right people to do it, it could be, like, even if you were making it for kids, like, it could be legitimately entertaining. But this version is
fucking Rob Zombie's redoing the Munsters. Yeah. You can redo this after.
quick plot: Fat Man and the Rabbit use a crystal bowling ball to bring back the ghost of somebody who gives a shit, but it looks exactly like Spencer, and so the whole thing is there's a switcheroo, because that's what you did back in, well, you still do it nowadays, but kids programming, you do a switcheroo, and the ghost goes over and takes over the team and does the heist. The heist is literally they walk into a room, you don't see anything, and they come back out. Like, that's it. That's the heist.
It was the heist of the century.
I like how Kong was describing what happened with Tracy, as he apparently Spencer or the ghost walked through the wall to get the crystal ball, but then later Spencer runs into Big Al in the hallway as a ghost, and then they toss the Maltese Monkey to Rabbit. He just appears as it flies through the hallway.
Yeah,
that might be one of my favorite little tidbits of this show, is when props just jump cut into people's hands.
Yes.
It is the most abrupt editing cut ever, and all of a sudden it's like bing, and it just pops into their hands, and it's like, oh, there it is.
People are in like totally different positions.
It's
like, remember that Simpsons episode where Homer goes on the show to like defend himself, and they recut it where you see the clock in the background making like these crazy ass jumps while he's talking? It's kind of like that.
I will say one of the gags that did make me laugh when Spencer brings in the crystal ball, aka a bowling ball. He has a real bowling ball, and they're having trouble getting his fingers out. So they go, okay, fine, you just hold it. And then he's, oh, let me readjust. And he takes his fingers out and sticks his other fingers in. That was funny. That made me laugh. That was a good dumb gag.
They're all good dumb gags. That's the whole point of the show.
But they're not all. I wouldn't say they're all good. I don't know.
A lot of them are just classic slapstick, and we're of a different generation.
Yeah, we're
man.
Jaded. It's good.
We are.
It actually tells a lot about some of these bits, because, you know, people. I mean, I don't know how old you guys are. Are you around my? You must be around my age, right?
Late 30s.
So we're all in the same. But people our age will watch something like Abbott and Costello or the Three Stooges. And we can laugh at a good bit of it, but a lot of it hasn't aged well. And it's the same for this. Like, there are some classic bits that will always work. And, you know, some of them have just aged out.
That's true.
But kudos to them for hitting the ones that still work. Unlike the Keystone Cop chase that they tried to do.
the
Keystone
the
Cop
like
chase they tried
the,
to do in those doors. Woo! Yeah.
Yeah, that's an ongoing theme, I think, each and every episode.
Yeah, they didn't age the good ones, though. That's the problem. Like, they aged everything from vaudeville. I mean, hell, the main actor who played Spencer is 99 years old. He's still around. He was doing this back in the day. But these jokes weren't good back then, because they took them from the vaudeville, and they took them from the 20s, but they didn't update them. Hell, like, again, look at F Troop. What, they blew up that freaking tower every episode? Like, that didn't get old for people? Really? Like, it's a running gag at some point, but at some point you just bury it in the ground. So that's what they did with a lot of these jokes. They repeat the same joke twice in the first episode, and they do another one later on in the second episode. So, yeah, they didn't write this very well.
Well, it's hard to write when you're full of cocaine.
Physically and mentally.
Yes. No, these guys were too old for cocaine.
That's true. When you're full of Metamucil.
It was Ovaltine.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it was Scotch.
So the next episode was Dr. What's-His-Face, where it's actually Dr. Frankenstein who's coming back to seek a brain for his monster, and he figures out that he's going to go for the most gullible fool, which of course is Spencer.
Yep.
Or no, Tracy, right?
No, Tracy Gorilla.
Who's who?
Spencer's the one with the zoot suit.
Yeah. Looks like he's going to show up and be like, listen here, see?
Yep.
Pull a Tommy gun out of nowhere.
And the reason why it's Dr. What's-His-Face, because they had a pie in this one. That was the recorded message.
Right.
And Tracy would go to adjust it by twisting the strawberry on the top, and then it would get all staticky. And so they never knew what Dr. What's-His-Face was.
Which, that throws me for a loop, because the first one obviously was supposed to be a recording and a fish, but this time it's a radio, and the guy's broadcasting the radio when you turn it on. Why wouldn't it just be a tape player inside of the pie?
I don't know.
Inspector Gadget wrote around
I think
it,
you're thinking too much.
Dude.
Oh, by the way, can we talk about how Dr. Frankenstein has a monster that is strong, big, and can, like, follow orders, but he wants to put an idiot's brain into it?
Because he wants him just remain subservient instead of thinking for himself.
No matter what version of it, Dr. Frankenstein is one of the most brilliant, disturbed scientists ever, but he's also, like, quite the one-trick pony.
Yeah.
Like he that's all he does, is turn things that should never be into being and go like, I did it again!
But Frankenstein's monster in this show is, it's all, you can see Phil Hartman's monster from Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
It's like that level of stupid, just,
yes. Fire burn!
Gets distracted easily, puts things through ceilings for random reasons.
Oh, no, because you say put it down, and the monster puts it up.
Yep, because he's that dumb. I also like, Dr. Frankenstein is so smart, he can break the fourth wall. That's an amazing power.
That is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. When he looks, he's like, this, they don't even know, like when he says that at the front door. Here's where it gets me. So this is the second episode of this show, and they've already given up on, like, how these monsters come to life. Because obviously the first one, Fat Man and Rabbit have to, like, summon a ghost. This time, Dr. Frankenstein just snaps himself into existence wherever he wants to be. And the monster.
Coming back from some other realm or plane of existence. Because he makes some sort of reference of always having to come back here to continue his experiments. And he just, every time he wants to teleport anywhere, snaps his fingers, and then he do the amazing cut, and then people end up moving across the screen.
They actually bring this up in the fourth episode, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf, where a gypsy fortune teller snaps into existence and then brings the most dumb werewolf I've ever seen in my life. But she says that the graveyard is a gateway. She says something about how the graveyard is a gateway, which is why these ghosts can apparate in the graveyard. But that's about all we get on that.
Yeah, I mean, this episode was pretty straightforward. Like, it was a straight, like, hey, we're going to kidnap Spencer, and then we got to fight off the monster and doctor. Like, there's nothing, like, the last one had a little bit more back and forth. We had more slapstick. This one's just straightforward, dumb monster.
Yeah, and trying to hypnotize someone for a hangnail. What?
Any of the slapstick that was happening was pretty much happening at the headquarters prior to anything involving the monster, hence the magic fridge.
Oh, yeah, two two pies in the face. We got everything.
Yep. That was the ongoing theme of Dr. What's-His-Face, was pies to the face.
What's his name?
What's his name?
And now, terrifying. I brought it up earlier that the Ghostbusters don't know how their own equipment works. But the other thing that we saw it in the first episode and the second episode, the terrible effects, like the video effects they use for like the laser. It was just like arrows, like the up arrows you'd use in like meteorology, like, and next in the weather, yep. Like, here's you go for this.
I think my favorite is the fact that when Kong uses the what is it called? The dematerializer?
The ghost dematerializer.
He yeah. literally has to say zap every time he uses it. Zap.
I love how the first episode, he used it pretty much right away on Big Al. And then the second episode, he had no idea what the hell he was doing.
Now, I'm sorry. Is anybody else still mad about the fact that the name of the gorilla is not Kong?
Yes, I am irritated.
Fucking idiots.
Sorry. Well, they made reference while they're in the second episode, because somebody mentions the Empire State Building. And Tracy starts to get upset, and then I think it's Kong who says, oh, don't mention the Empire State Building. His grandfather had a bad experience there.
Ha! Right.
That's a good one.
So is Tracy the great-grandson of King Kong? Is that what happened?
Yes! Yeah, at some point he got lucky.
He fucked that blonde lady.
Did he?
Jesus Christ.
Oh,
well,
poor King Kong.
We didn't see the entire movie. I mean, well, poor King Kong. What about poor What's-Her-Face?
No. We discussed this in the Kong episodes.
Hung like a hamster.
Yeah, the gorillas are actually kind of tiny-dicked, so that's what it is.
Yeah. Is a normal-sized male human's penis on his giant gorilla body?
Yeah.
I think...
something about the equipment, though, so I just thought about this now. At some point... Kong, he's like a coach. He's a useless character. His outfit changes are like, he just wears some like a vest. He looks like a hobo the entire time. But he says something about like, I said it for 500 years. And then this might tie into the cartoon, which you're going to talk about, but they keep like shooting these people to another realm. Is it another time or another realm? So I just thought that they could have gotten into the lore later on. And then Bobby, tell me if you've seen more episodes, did they talk about that more? Or is this just a one-off?
For this live action?
Yeah.
I think it was just a poor joke. I don't think they've been around for 500 years.
No, and he says he's going to shoot the ghost of 500 years. So 500 either in the future or the past.
Oh, when he sets the dematerializer.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they say it's either in the first or second episode, they say that it sends them back to the ghost realm. I don't know what they meant by setting it for 500 years. And then that didn't work, so he had to reset it.
Because, I mean, we do learn it in the cartoon that it does send him to, like, a weird realm in a time frame. And I'm not even talking about trapping, like, the evil dude. I'm saying, like, all that shit they do just sends him away. So.
Right. Yeah.
From what I think they expand on in the cartoon is that's the setting for how long the ghost will be dematerialized for. Which, if that's the case, it begs the question, why the hell would you not have it on the maximum setting? Why would you have it for anything less than 500 years?
I have an answer for that. That ties directly into the cartoon, though. Since you brought that up, and I didn't think about it. Slavery.
What?
Because in the cartoon, half their fucking technology is powered by, like, ghosts. The car is a ghost, and their TV is a ghost. So, no, it's a threat. Like, hey, I will send you away for 500 years unless you're willing to do some shit for me, you little fuck. So it's slavery.
You will be my phone.
Who wants to be a toilet brush?
Wow, this took a turn. Yeah,
I know. I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to bed now.
Can you imagine if it was somebody that had been the ghost of someone who had spent their life enslaved? And you're like, all right, ghost, because you threw this pie at me. I'm just gonna stop.
Let's call it indentured servitude is what it is. It's a work camp.
Involuntary labor.
It's a work camp.
Get into this toaster so I can fuck you. Oh wait, wrong.
Wait, what?
Oh, meta.
Oh, that may be our opening promo. I hope not.
Hey. I think I appreciated most about watching the live action show is the amount of pop culture references that are made, like, per episode. Like, in the first episode, what's the gangster's name? Big Al or whatever.
Yeah,
Big Al is straight up the Godfather.
I literally took notes about that.
You've got Spencer Tracy. You've got King Kong. Take, for instance, let's say Rick and Morty. Like, people fucking love Rick and Morty, and part of the reason why we love that show is because it hits on so much pop culture that we're, you know, for our generation.
Right.
Which is why I'm being like three quarters serious when I say they should make a show like this. And I mean, do it well, like with good writers and stuff. But like, if we had a show that just had, like you said before, a gorilla and two bumbling idiots running around trying to solve ghost crimes. But if they made as many pop culture references in the show, like the new show, as they did in this one, everyone would fucking love it. Everybody would love the show.
That's true. But it has to be done well. Like, it couldn't be...
Right,
like,
right.
From
yeah.
Mick G and Zack Snyder comes, you know, you'd be like, okay.
only if they use the theme song from the live action. We're the Ghostbusters. And then they...
That was more in tune than the actual theme song that they sing.
It was much more in tune.
Yeah, my wife was sitting here while I was watching the sixth episode and that theme song started, and she just tilted her head and she looked at me and she goes, was that flat or sharp? And I was like, I really can't tell you. I don't know what that was.
It was both.
Yeah. It was the most music you possibly can.
It sure was singing.
It's a lost art form having your two leads sing the theme yeah. song to the
oh
show.
Oh my God, they should still do that today. Can you imagine?
Friends, yeah, just imagine Friends if they all had to sing.
Even 10 years later, Jake and the Fat Man. The Fat Man has a chorus, and like after the second chorus, he has to be like, it's Jake and the Fat...
Yeah. It. We're writing a show where the bad guys sing the theme song every week.
The Sopranos.
Woke up this morning.
The Sopranos are just a bunch of fat Italian guys singing the word gabagool over and over.
It's just like a bunch of nasally Jersey guys.
Hey, yo, got myself a gun, Ma.
I think we're on to something here. This needs to be a thing.
I'm taking notes right now. So
the newest season of The Masked Singer, cartoons' greatest villains singing the theme songs from their shows.
Speaking of notes, Zach, I told you right before we started recording this, I took notes for approximately 3 minutes of the first episode of this show, and then I said,
"Yep,
Zach is terrible."
And then his hand started to bleed,
and I said, "Zach, I hate you, and I hope you rot in hell because this fucking show sucks."
Oh God!
And then it got better because I realized, oh yeah, I don't actually hate Zach. I hate everyone whoever's involved with this. I hate the actors. I hate the producers. I hate the fact that someone funded this. And then for some reason,
services.
10 years later, they're like, hey, you remember that show we had on for 15 episodes? Let's make a fucking cartoon about it.
Yeah,
didn't it have something to do? I think Zach, you and I might have talked about this at one point, but didn't it have something to do? The cartoon has something to do with wanting to get on top of, like, keep rights to the title.
Well, they am so glad you asked that, Chris.
So they crank the cartoon out real fast because it came out within, like, a week of each other or something similar.
So we're going to transition from the live action The Ghostbusters to what is now Filmation's Ghostbusters, which is the animated show that Chris, you and I both saw snippets here and there while we were looking for the real Ghostbusters. And I know I would be confused, just like you were, going, why is there a gorilla here? But Bobby, you love this cartoon, correct?
Yeah, I love this show.
No, hold that. That's not right. No, hang on. No. Okay. All right. So, got it.
Let's go, Ghostbusters!
Let's go, Ghostbusters! Let's go!
So Filmation's Ghostbusters is in the same universe. It is Jake Kong Jr., who is voiced by Pat Fraley. He was Ace in G.I. Joe and like 65 characters in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, including like Krang.
That's where I knew
and Casey
from.
Jones.
It was driving me crazy.
Yep.
It was G.I.
Eddie
Joe.
Spencer Jr.
He was Krang?
Yeah, he was Krang, Casey Jr., and Baxter Stockman. Those were like the big
God,
names he
Baxter.
Worked for the
Jesus.
Ninja Turtles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Eddie Spencer Jr. was voiced by the incredible Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime and Ironhide of Transformers. He did a bunch of voices for G.I. Joe. He was in DuckTales. He was Montgomery in Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. And they are the sons.
Blimey!
Yeah. What?
They are the sons of the original Ghostbusters.
I had no idea.
From the live-action comedy series. Tracy the gorilla is still Tracy, but now is very smart. He's actually voiced by, I forget the guy's name.
Lou Scheimer.
He was the voice of Zero. He was the guy on the other end of the phone or the recording in the Ghostbusters of the
live action
one. So he was in the live action as the voice, as like the Charlie in the Charlie's Angels.
He was also the producer of the original.
Yep. He co-produced Star Trek, the animated series. He also played a significant role in the creation of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and he voiced a bunch of characters on that whole cartoon. So this is a continuation.
I can't be mad at him. That's like half my early childhood.
This is a continuation of the live-action film, and the reason why this cartoon actually happened was because of the success of the Columbia Pictures Ghostbusters movie with Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and Harold Ramis.
Hot damn.
Yeah.
Well, so they wrote the Ghostbusters, they started filming the Ghostbusters, realized that Ghostbusters was already a property, and they cut a deal with Filmation where they paid him $600,000 for the name,
mm-hmm.
plus 1% of all profits on the movie, which they got boned by because I didn't dig, but some Hollywood accounting bullshit that screwed Filmation out of their the money.
Yep.
Which would have been a significant amount of money, even at 1%. So when the movie did well, and they were talking about doing a Ghostbusters cartoon, Filmation reached out to Columbia and said, "Hey guys, can we do your cartoon since we were nice enough to give you the rights to use the name?" And Columbia said, "Go fuck yourself." And they went, "All right, we'll see." And they ended up making Ghostbusters the cartoon and put it, which was their deadly mistake. They literally put it right up against the real Ghostbusters, which was the Columbia version of the Ghostbusters. And ended up, you know, shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, Columbia gave the contract to DIC, which, if my memory serves me, as a child, it was pronounced Deek.
Yep.
At the end of every fucking
goodness.
Episode.
You just unlocked some shit in my brain right there.
Right? How many VHS tapes of G.I. Joe and Transformers was that shit on?
You are welcome.
Wow.
Deke titled their own adaptation, like you said, the real Ghostbusters, so that this way they were distinguishing it separate from Filmation, and everything you said is correct. Filmation going head-to-head with the cartoon based upon the highly successful movie did not work. at all. Granted, they made 65 episodes of the Filmation Ghostbusters. It still only ran a number of months.
September to December, just
Holy
like the run of the original show.
Five days a week, I want to say, daytime syndication mm-hmm. in 1986, and it debuted five days prior?
Prior.
I think, yeah, it was 5 days prior the real Ghostbusters.
God, I can't imagine that a five-day-a-week show anymore.
So it was a daytime. So it was on, you know, Monday through Friday at like whatever 6:00.
Correct.
Show,
yeah.
Probably yep. earlier, but and then of course the real Ghostbusters was a
which is what Ghostbusters did for its first season. The real Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Did really?
Yeah, they did.
I don't remember that.
In September 14th, 87 to December of 87, they did 65 episodes. That was
oh
they were in
God.
Syndication for that one season. And then they turned into like a Saturday morning cartoon.
God damn it.
Okay, see that, all right, so I'm surprised I don't remember that. I'm usually...
Oh, and September to December 89, they did 21 episodes. So they did syndication there as well.
They got you hooked on the cocaine, God. and then they stretched it out to once a week.
Yeah, first hits free, junkies.
Mm-hmm. This was not cocaine. I'm going to reiterate, this is slavery, except this time it was in Korea.
Well, we were talking real Ghostbusters there, but yeah.
Justin made the real, real Ghostbusters. We got real.
Hail Ghostbusters now.
With the Filmation Ghostbusters, Bobby, you know, you've seen, what, the entire series?
I mean, at some point or another, I'm sure I've watched most of these, but it's been a very long time.
I vaguely remember anything about it. I remember seeing Tracy the gorilla. I remember the Ghost Buggy Jr. I remember fucking Belfry, that talking bat.
Belfry definitely stuck out, yeah.
I vaguely remember them. I don't remember your main bad guy, Prime Evil, baby. But he's a ghost. They have ghosts, but they're robots, but he's a magician.
Don't think about it. Just embrace it.
I didn't hate him. You know, I didn't hate him. He was a lot better than any. I mean, he reminded me vaguely of just generic 80s bad guy. It was great. It worked.
Definitely. Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything more than that.
He was voiced by Alan Oppenheimer. He was Skeletor from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
He was also playing Skeletor in the Smurfs and the Wuzzles.
Yes, he was Skeletor as a ghost magician robot.
Did you just say the Wuzzles?
The Wuzzles. He was voices on the Wuzzles.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm bringing up all sorts of memories for you, aren't I?
I love it. Yeah,
absolutely. Who was in Shirt Tales?
Wait. No, something super important. Alan Oppenheimer was also Harold from Fallout series. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, wow.
No shit. That I did not know.
Yeah, just looked it up.
Wow, that's impressive. The more you know. I'll edit that in later. Da, 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 da. So, this seems to have an arc. We only watched the first couple episodes, and I know it continues for like a 4 or 5 episode arc because the original Ghostbusters, the parents, the fathers, are captured by Primeval, and they're taken, I don't know, someplace way in the future.
Yeah, Primeval 3,000 years into the future, yeah.
Jesus, 3,000 years. So it starts where Primeval he's got a magical universe time-hopping keyboard just like He-Man did in the live-action film.
Yep.
Except he rides his, which is weird. And he goes back in time. He's trapped for 100 years by the Ghostbusters in a safe, and he can't get out.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's pissed. He was trapped for 100 years with a mutant thing. And then he gets out and he's like, well, I'm going to kick your ass now. I mean, you have to be dead. But I'm going to go back in time and destroy you and then, you know, still destroy you.
So he goes back. I love his little henchmen. I forget all their different names, but he had like distinct henchmen, just like any 80s cartoon would have.
Well, that's the best part of this show.
God, and what was, I had a note somewhere about, what was the girl's name? Futura?
Oh, yeah, dumb name. Dumbest name. I'm from the future, so my name is Futura.
She's the future Ghostbuster, yes.
That's right, yeah. She can time travel as well, so the Ghostbusters Juniors figure out through stone slabs somehow that they need to jump to the future, which they unlock their magical dressing closet in the nether realm of space. The fuck is this?
With the skeleton conveyor belt and the giant hand.
Are you talking about the skelevator?
The skeleton skelevator was actually, that was the best part of the show, and the problem is they reused it every single episode.
Every episode to save money. It was an amazing ploy. It's amazing. Did we complain about it when the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers did it every episode? No.
Yeah, we did, actually. That was the thing we complained about all the time.
Speaking of repeating animation to save money, one of the first scenes where I think it's, I forget if it's Eddie Jr. or Jake Jr., but they're talking to the reporter outside, and the ghost keeps appearing behind her and doing things. And the reporter, they just use, like, the same two stills of her facing Jake, and then the ghost, and back and forth, and I swear that went on for 30 seconds of just flip-flopping two different panels back and forth.
No. You guys need to start the focus of this show. You're telling me that these Jake and Eddie Juniors are the sons of the original Ghostbusters, who were destitute poor people back in the 70s. Who, where the hell did they have kids? Because you never saw, they lived in that freaking shack with the gorilla. And like,
I'm 80% sure moms? Spencer was gay.
How yeah. do we know Tracy isn't the mother?
Oh, yeah, and then Tracy somehow becomes a super genius and starts making all these tools.
Hey, it's been 11 years since the show. Business is booming, guys. Maybe they sold the Maltese monkey and kept the money for themselves.
Yeah, here's the
thing.
It's
been 11 years, but their kids are like 27.
A gorilla right? can only live about 35 years in the wild. Let's just say this guy got a good diet. He lives up to 50 years old. That gorilla was already old as hell in the 70s. Like, how is this now like a younger, smarter gorilla?
Did you see his body? This guy was ripped. He lifts. He's got a hell of a regimen. Are you kidding me?
He used his ape growth hormone. Like Stallone. He's like 72, but he's got the like actual physical attributes of someone who's like 70.
Did y'all notice that on the Wikipedia page it says that Futura is an African American?
Was supposed what? To be an African American originally, yes.
Yep. Oh, okay. Oh. Isn't she like purple?
Yes.
So she's African American in the same way as like Skeeter in Doug.
Yes.
Okay, yes, exactly. Just making sure.
Are you blue washing somebody right now?
I am.
I like how Futura refers to herself in her present time.
I'm from the future.
It's Futura.
So my name is Futura. No, motherfucker, you're from your present right now. You're from the future.
You must be Pastor. What? The fuck are you talking about? Yeah, that's nonsense.
I just where's the line being drawn though? Because these are the Ghostbusters. Obviously, in the live action series, they destroyed every Ghostbuster, every ghost. I'm assuming. But like in this version, they have ghost pets. They have ghost things. They have ghost things that do stuff for them. And like yes,
their
I mentioned the slavery.
Are living skeletons.
Yes,
still.
I mean like where do they draw the line? Like hey, if you're willing to work with us, you can live. But like when they go to like fight Stonehenge, they couldn't just be like hey, if you stop, we can take care of you. Like where do they decide to do that?
Well, I mean in the live action show, there are bits where things happen on their own. Right, like the filing cabinet opened on its own.
Yeah,
so the sandwich and the window opened on its own.
Right, so you don't. I mean, what did that? They might be inferring that ghosts are around the office.
That might be why it's so like you know, seen better days, very dilapidated because it's
right.
really haunted. Nobody wanted to work there.
They gave up cleaning it up because every time that they'd clean it up, they'd leave and they come back and look like a bomb went off.
Yeah,
I mean they are
gorilla shit. We ever
they are living with a gorilla.
In the cartoon, they basically are living in the house from Up in between the World Trade Center towers because I'm guessing
yes.
they can't move it because that that house is like a portal or something because there's no other reason to stay there.
Bobby, you've seen you know a little bit more about the series. Does it have over like continuing arcs that are multi-episode or does it become episodic at some point? Do you remember?
It becomes pretty episodic after the first five, that first week. What was it? September 8th to the 15th or sorry. No, 8th to the 12th. The first five episodes are them. It's basically introducing you to the sons of the Ghostbusters who are our protagonists. And then them rescuing their father. And it's actually pretty smart. Like, you could tell that, I mean, they failed miserably, but they wanted to sell toys so bad because they threw every single bad guy that they created for the entire show in the first five episodes.
We got to do marketing, get the kids seeing who they are.
Here's what gets me. So the show came out in 1975, and then they're going to rescue their dads in 1986. You could have eliminated the whole dad subplot, because the only people who remember that is the parents.
Well,
and I guarantee you, they don't remember it fondly.
That's the weirdest part of this show is like that they decided to make it a continuation of the original show, because no one fucking knew that show. If you took a time, if you traveled back in time to 1986 and looked at just the regular person, was like, hey, you remember that sitcom, The Ghostbusters? They'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They didn't have TiVo, so you'd have to remember it.
How did you get in my house?
Yeah, nobody had this on, well, I don't know. Maybe it was on Laserdisc. I doubt it.
Not in 86.
No, I very much doubt it. I doubt this thing's on DVD.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get
it. It was released again on DVD in 2007, and then it was discontinued in 2016.
I will find it.
And there was much rejoicing.
I will find it. The toys, if you look up the toys online, they're ridiculous.
Okay, so they did have VHS tapes of the original show in the 80s. So you could have gotten VHS in the 80s.
Yep.
And I mean, this was also in like 4:3 format, so it's not like it was anything special. They shot on film. So I mean, they shot on tape, not on film. So this is one of the earliest tape shows. Sorry, going back to the original, not the cartoon. The cartoon was animated, so.
Jesus, I'm looking up some of these Filmation Ghostbusters right now. 1987, Belfry, Brat-a-Rat Vintage Sealed, going for $200.
Yeah, the toys are insane.
The toys are Mysteria, so expensive.
Mysteria, $175, still in the container.
They look like McDonald's crappy toys. They don't even look like good toys.
They're trash, man. They're like really, really, really bad like He-Man figures.
Scared Stiff, $375.
Tell me he isn't a ripoff of C-3PO.
Okay. I like how the first scene of a ghost is a skeleton.
Yep. What? No, a robot.
What?
A robot
skeleton.
A robot.
Yep.
It's a robot skeleton ghost. Like, wait, what did you just say? I wish I could go through walls like my friends. Why can't you? You're still a ghost.
What?
But neither can Primeval, so maybe it's the robot ghosts that can't go through walls.
Robot ghosts.
That's why he gets caught in that vault. Not once, but twice, because that's how they beat him in the fifth episode. They lock him in a vault again.
He didn't learn his lesson.
He's like, I know I shouldn't, but I can't resist expecting this awesome vault from the inside. And they just close the door gently behind him.
It's like that douchebag on Family Guy with the fucking Reese's Pieces. Ooh, piece of candy.
Ooh, piece of candy. James Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Refer to him as douchebag from now on. Just throwing it out.
Yeah.
So this has been Filmation's Ghostbusters and the dark side of the Ghostbusters industry. Not really related, but similar to what Podcasters Assemble is going through right now. Justin or Chris, did you have any more notes after watching the cartoons that you want to tell me?
Well, no, but apparently there's a comic book that they came out for this cartoon as well. And I'm like, well, that was, yeah. So there you go, Comic Zombie Chris.
I think there was six issues, but only four were released.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think.
That sounds about right. I'm shocked that they made so many episodes of the animated series.
I mean, that's a lot.
But it did. But again,
that's a lot. Even if you're reusing scenes and you're reusing like film, like
it's still a lot. That's a lot of recording. That's a lot of music. Although the music keys are probably all the same. I don't know. You know, as far as the live action show, it's
garbage.
I hate to say it. I think I appreciate a little bit more about it after listening to some of the things Bobby had to say. But as far as like my ability to watch it.
Victory!
Well, maybe. I guess it depends where your bar is. Because as far as like ever watching it again, I'm going to have to give that like 75,000 thumbs down. on a scale of 1 to 2. But it there is a certain charm to it. So like if you have literally nothing better to do, like it's this or eat your own fingers, then you know, flip a coin.
Flip a coin.
While you still can.
Yeah, before you eat your fingers.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And I'm gonna say the live action show, I actually might continue watching the rest of these terrible, terrible, terrible shows. And I say this, well, hear me out. The reason is because I actually am a big fan of the culture of the 70s. Hell, like I said, I brought up F Troop before. And there are a lot of guest stars who were big stars in the day popping on this show. I was like, it might be worth the watch to see like what the pop culture is at the time, because they do bring up a lot of references. So I don't know. I might continue watching the live action. There's only 15 episodes total. They're about 20 minutes each. I will never finish the cartoon. I will tell you that right now. The cartoon is never coming back in rotation.
Justin, if you're going to watch any more of the live action one, at least watch episode 6.
Yeah. The werewolf's pretty funny too, though.
I can see.
I guess my only other note is that Zach, I will never forgive you for this, and I look forward to the next train wreck that we look at.
Well, I'm going to disassemble you, Zach. I'm going to disassemble you.
Mission accomplished?
Just keep in mind, he didn't make the actual show. He just made us watch it.
I really hope the next one I'm on, Zach, is something I hate, because I thoroughly enjoyed this opportunity to watch this. So I was on Neatcast, and they had, for their last segment, when we were talking about something, we were talking about Saturday morning cartoons, and that's when I brought this up, and everyone thought I was lying. They're like, what are you talking about? But, like, this, I'm just talking from a kid's eyes, right? So this show came out in 86. I was born in 85, so I definitely watched this in reruns when I was, like, 6, 7, you know, years old. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't catching this when it was first on, but, like, Primeval, like you guys even said, Primeval is your standard. He's a good, you know, 80s cartoon villain. The fact that they had named, what did they have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They had 8 named, like, main henchmen that all had very specific tropes that were true to Hollywood. Like, one that one is just a complete ripoff of Mae West. You know, one of them is like a Victorian actor with the Barbara Walters can't say his R's right. You've got the ripoff of C-3PO, but they were so close to knocking it out of the park and having something that would have made a good amount of money with all the toys they could have sold. I mean, like Ansibone, the skeleton ghost phone that's basically their secretary. I want that toy. I want an Ansibone. I want a Skelevator and a Skelevision. It's like the stuff that they had in there. It wasn't a firehouse. Remember, guys, it was not a firehouse. It was just a house. Nope. Just it happened house. To almost fire. Kind of sort of resemble the firehouse, but it was not a firehouse. There was so much they could have made money on, and they were just proud and tried to throw it against the Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters, and it did not work. But it's for what it is and what it was in the 80s, I enjoyed it as a cartoon, and it was fun to watch. I mean, like I said, I had it in the background. I got mad because halfway through, it switched to the real Ghostbusters, and now I'm watching an episode of He-Man.
Darn, you went to something better.
Can I say, I think the cartoon is actually not that bad, and that's from somebody who grew up in the early 80s. Like, I've seen a lot of really bad cartoons, especially from that era, and this isn't great necessarily.
Hashtag Hulk Hogan cartoon.
Oh god. Oh god.
Is that the next one? Let's do it.
I'll bring you in for that one, Bobby.
Suburban Commando first.
Hey, yes. Hey, yep. I love Suburban Commando. You shut your mouth.
What was the first one he did with
Zeus?
I think it was Brutus Beefcake. No, that was No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred was the first movie he did.
Was it, or was it the one where he's on like a jet ski the whole time?
No, that's Thunder in Paradise. Yes. That was mid-90s.
So that was, yeah. Okay, all right, yeah.
I'm going to go look this up now.
I know far too much about Hulk Hogan movies.
Have you been to a store in Orlando?
I have not.
Okay.
It's so racist.
So is his sex tape, but I still watched it.
So. Yeah, his first film.
I discount anything Bobby has ever said or will say or, yeah, no.
Listen, you want to know why his leg drop was so effective? Watch the sex tape and then you'll get it.
Jesus
Christ. He's dropping the hammer, son.
It wasn't just the leg that was doing the damage.
That's the joke, Zach.
I like to explain it for those that are playing along at home.
I tell you what, the best thing that came out of anything pro wrestling was Macho Man Randy Savage's rap album.
Oh God. I remember.
That's the greatest thing that ever happened.
Anyway. That came out when I was in college. My goodness.
If anybody wants to do an episode of these about music, that's what I'm doing.
Ooh. I will say that I'm a Real American is on one of my typical Spotify playlists. So,
no, this is actually Macho Man Randy Savage rapping about, like, one song is called Be a Man, Hogan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this up.
And no, you're not.
References.
You're right.
My favorite line is how he brags about his role in Spider-Man.
Yep.
It's fantastic. And the cover. Oh. The cover, it's like designed to kind of look like Michael Jackson's Bad, at least the one that I saw, as far as like the stark white background. But he's got like leather pants on and no shirt, and he's like leaning backwards at all these chains, and it is
yeah, he's got a ton of chains on. Yep,
just mwah. I mean, it's horrible. I love it. It's like the worst, cringiest thing on the face of the earth, and it's fantastic.
My neighbor in college bought that album. We listened to the whole thing in the dorm. It was hysterical.
My brother can legit.
Oh no!
Anytime, at any time, especially the drunker he gets, all you have to do is say, "Hey man, hey hey, be a man, Hogan," and he'll go into the entire song off the top of his head. So of course, when we're like all super drunk,
that was a tangent. I love that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Sorry. I'm sure somebody was talking about something much more important.
No, I just have the ring music for Hulk Hogan in my head now. I'm sorry.
Well, we can go start another episode of Ghostbusters if that'll help get it out of your head.
Oh, no, that'll just, the last thing that'll take is my will to live. Right?
We're the Ghostbusters.
Busters.
Oh, can I say real quick, there was one thing I want to point out. The theme song for the cartoon's not half bad.
No.
The only problem is that if you don't love it, buckle the fuck up, because you're going to hear it about 86,000
throughout the entire episode.
Actually,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
I will say, the cartoon, the reason I'll never watch it again, it's the most generic 1980s cartoon ever. The villain is the same villain as everything else. The theme song's fine. There's nothing special about the show. They have 300 fucking extra, like, sidekicks and shit, mostly to sell toys. So, I mean, like, there's nothing special to the show. Just don't watch it.
Are you talking about Ghostbusters or Masters of the Universe?
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, because it's they both Filmation, right? Like, it's the same damn thing.
I think Filmation, if you watched it as a kid, you would appreciate it because of the nostalgia. If you never watched it, it's not going to mean anything to you. And if it wasn't going up head to head against the real Ghostbusters, yeah, maybe it probably could have been something in the 80s.
It's a better cartoon than the real Ghostbusters.
Oh boy. Well, send your hate mail to Bobby at effincultured.
Yep, at effincultured@gmail.com.
We will be discussing the real Ghostbusters on Podnissies and the Podcasters Assemble. Make sure you submit it. We can make this work probably.com.
Oh, that's sweet. I'll be the dissenting voice on that one.
You are welcome to submit for that.
I haven't hopped on to the first two movies, but I'm totally gonna hop on to be a cheerleader for the female version of Ghostbusters, and I'm going to poo-poo the real Ghostbusters.
Well, 2016 is due now, so get to it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot.
Hurry the fuck up. I'm late, too. Just hurry the fuck up.
Can I just say, while I have this, while listening to the finalized cut of the first episode of the Ghostbusters season of Podcasters Assembled, I get that the movie's like 40 years old and that times are different. But the amount of people who spent the entire time like, Peter Venkman's problematic, really made me want to like drive my car to oncoming traffic. So,
there you go. I don't think there was a ton of people doing that, Chris, but I understand what you're saying.
No, one of them was Corey, and I like Corey, and I it just made me like really mad at Corey, but that's okay. I'll talk to him about it.
Okay. Next time on Podcasters Disassembled, we'll actually be hitting No Time to Die, even though that was originally one of the, what is that, season 3 of Podcasters Assemble?
Season 003.
003. So it won't be in a, since we're covering Ghostbusters right now, we'll be tackling that, I believe, next month in November. So look forward to that. And for Bobby jumping on and complaining about the real Ghostbusters and swinging his dick around, because that'll be great. So until next time, I'm Zach.
I'm Chris, comiczombie.net.
Justin Aki.
I'm Bobby. Go F yourselves. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Wait.
You know what? That's fine. Whatever.
Let's go, Ghostbusters.
Let's go.
That's even better now.
Let's go.
Bye-bye.
Podcasters Assemble is a production of the We Can Make This Work, Probably, Podcast Network. Find more of our shows at probablywork.com and learn how to contribute to future episodes of Podcasters Assemble by looking us up on Twitter and Instagram at Casters Assemble or joining our Discord page. Link in the show notes. Submissions are always open. Intro written by Eric Slater. This episode was edited by Zach Derby. Voiceover by a guy in a basement with three daughters who's just glad he's not on food stamps. Thank you to everyone who was able to contribute to this episode. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to where you can find them all online. Thank you.
The Needcast, your source for offbeat news.
Marauding monkeys bring fear to historic Indian tourist haven. These monkeys have gotten aggressive. Anytime you hold a package in their hand, they'll come up and they'll snatch it from you. Like gang members. Like, take your chain.
Oh my god.
Hot takes on sports?
Drew Brees is a legend. How dare you?
He is, but he's done.
No, he's not. You pardoned him. He's coming back.
He wants to pardon Drew Brees. I want to throw him in prison.
And deep dives into the paranormal.
The Loveland Frogman. At approximately 3:30 a.m., an unnamed businessman, the most credible witness maybe you can find.
Unnamed businessman.
I was just doing business when I saw a frogman.
Join us every Monday, and let's talk some bullshit. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all your favorite podcasting apps.
If you're a fan of this podcast
and want to see it continue,
help support us on Patreon,
where you can unlock tons of exclusive content,
including, but not limited to,
movie commentaries,
ad-free versions of our promo specials,
extended cuts,
early access to new episodes,
behind-the-scenes clips,
first access to merchandise,
blooper reels,
and even a chance to vote on what we cover next on our Podcasters Disassembled episodes.
Just head right on over to patreon.com/podcastersassemble.
That's patreon.com/podcastersassemble.
Link in the show notes.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.